Welcome to Fueled by Grace. I'm Mark Shiver. Glad to have you listening to this episode of the podcast. And I'm so excited that more of you are sharing and listening to and receiving the great message of God's love for you. Do you know that God loves you deeply? He loves you passionately. He loves you fiercely. Imagine that. God, the creator of the universe, loves you fiercely. If you've not listened to that podcast, go to the website, fueledbygrace.com, or any of the other places, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and click on God Loves You Fiercely. And you will be so encouraged. It's so awesome to know that God's great love for us was so fierce that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for us. And I just want to thank you for sharing the podcast with others. You know, we live in tumultuous times. Food shortages at the grocery store, inflation, energy prices going up. It's just crazy, the times in which we live. But you can rest assured that God loves you, and there is nothing that will anchor your soul in tumultuous times than being assured that your Heavenly Father loves you and cares for you. It's awesome. So keep sharing with your friends and family members the message of God's great love, and let's get the word out, shall we? I want to say today that I think it's important that we have an understanding of how to have a relationship with God. So I'm going to give you two keys to have a relationship with God. And it's not like, I know that we've all been in church and we've heard, you know, six steps to a better relationship with God, five steps to a better devotional time, three steps to wipe sin out of your life, and all of that. This is not one of those performance-centered bullet point teachings. I'm just going to share with you some truth, and I hope it'll change your perspective and your life. Life change is awesome. I'm going through it. And I've been going through it for the last several years, and it's awesome to see how God can become more and more real in my life. It's not that he wasn't real before, but it's my awareness of that reality, that he is real, and that he's not leaving me, he's not forsaking me. That is so awesome. So let's get started. You know, when Satan said to Eve, "Did God really say that you would die if you ate of this fruit?" He's not really telling you the truth. You're not going to die. Well, there was some truth to what the serpent said, because Adam and Eve did not die physically, but their spirits died. And from that moment on, everybody that was born, the entire human race, was born with a spirit that was not rejuvenated, that was not born again. And so here comes Jesus telling Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what do you mean? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb?" But no, by receiving God's gift of salvation, your spirit is born again and it comes alive within you. And so you are a living spirit that has a relationship with God, because your spirit is in union with God by his Holy Spirit. It's really very simple, and yet it's profound, and it's hard for us to wrap our heads around. Now, wait a minute, I've got a soul and I got a body. You mean I have a spirit? What's that? I can't see it. Well, it is the part of you that comes alive, right, when you are born again. And your spirit is a new creation. And we can read in the letters of Paul all about the new creation and the new man. And it's interesting, people want to talk about sin. And that's really the issue that keeps most people from embracing the gospel. And they talk about, you know, those grace preachers. And it's always the issue of sin that keeps people tied up in knots. But Paul simply says that sin is in our members. Members meaning our bodies. As long as you're in a physical body, you're going to sin, you know, and that's where sin resides. But it doesn't reside in the new creation. So here's what you need to learn and understand and ask God to open your eyes and open your heart to understand that you are a new creation, and that new person inside of you does not sin. It has not sinned. It will not sin. And it is joined to God by the Holy Spirit. This is so awesome because I wish we heard, I'm not here to criticize. Honestly, I'm not. But I wish we heard more of this in our churches. I really do. I wish we heard more of this taught on Sunday morning instead of being taught about sin and about, you know, you need to repent. There's so much talk about repentance on Sunday mornings in most churches. And it's really strange to me because the word repent means to change your mind. Now, I know some churches, they're throwing out a wide net and they're hoping a lot of unbelievers come to the service. And so they're talking about repent to them to try to get them to accept Jesus into their hearts. And that's perfectly fine. Repent, change your mind, receive God's gift of salvation. But when you start hammering believers with the word repent, first of all, it doesn't make any sense. But we've taken the word repent to mean this emotionally fueled, charged piece of a sermon that we can use as a hammer to just pound Christians. You need to repent and get your life right with God, you know? And Christians come running down to the altar and they rededicate their lives to God and they make commitments that they can't keep. And it's all an emotional exercise and futility. And so understand that repent means to change your mind. If you're going to tell a Christian to repent, tell them to repent of focusing on sin and instead change your mind and focus on the new creation. Focus on the new creation that you are. You know, I hear people all the time talk about, my pastor preaches the whole Bible. He preaches the whole gospel. He preaches the entire word of God. Yes and amen. And what they typically mean is that their pastor is hitting them with a mixture of law and grace. And they'll pull things out of the Old Testament to make a good sermon. Jeremiah, you know, the heart of man is wicked. And oh, you can go for 30, 40 minutes to an hour on that, you know. Well, we all have wicked hearts and you need to repent and come down to this altar right now and ask God to give you a clean heart. And Psalm 51, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Well, David didn't have Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, resurrected, and ascending into heaven. David was praying prophetically into the future. We don't need to pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, because he's already done that. We don't need to ask God to renew a right spirit within me because he's already done that. When you receive Christ as your Savior and become born again, you are a new creation. You have a new person living inside of you, your spirit. And it's you through and through, but it does not sin. The new man, the new creation does not sin. How could the new creation sin? He's in union with the Holy Spirit. That couldn't happen if there was sin in the new creation because God is holy and could not join himself to sin. And so now your head is about to explode, right? Because you're thinking, Mark, what are you talking about? I sin every day. You sin every day. You know what? You're right. I do sin every day. I mean, sin, as long as we're in these bodies, we're going to sin. But it's our approach to sin that is the difference. The first key to having a relationship with God is understanding that when you are born again, you are a new creation, and that that new creation does not sin, is not tainted by sin. And so all of this talk about trying to get your life right with God, It's really useless because, you see, if you're born again and have received Christ, your life is right with God. And you might say to me, well, Mark, I cuss too much, or I'm drink, or I'm, you know, I commit fornication. I need to stop doing those things. Well, yes, you do need to quit doing those things. But you don't quit doing those things by, I'm going to quit doing these things. I'm going to get into an accountability group and have people tell me how I need to quit doing these things. And, you know, the way you quit doing those things is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because as you fix your eyes on him and spend your energy and your attention focused on the fact that you are a new creation, these things will lose their strength in your life. They will begin to fall away. Trust me, I am experiencing that. And no, I'm not perfect in my body. I never will be. Paul says sin is in our members, in our physical bodies. So as long as we're alive on this earth in these bodies, we're going to do things that don't please God. But I'm telling you, the answer to stopping that is not by looking at it and focusing on it, because when you do that, you give it strength. You see? Fix our eyes on Jesus and what he has done and the reality of being a new creation. So if you do something that's not pleasing to God, instead of getting all worked up and, oh, I need to repent. And, well, you know, 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So here I go. Lord, I confess that I did this or that, and I just hope you'll be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all. God, I just sinned again. So, Lord, I confess that I just sinned again, and I hope you'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I just sinned again. Rats, what am I doing? Lord, I confess my sin. I know you're faithful and just. Oh, I just give up. God, I can't do it this way. And you know what, folks? First of all, it's totally wrong teaching to take 1 John 1:9 and apply it to believers, to people who are born again. That's not what John was saying at all. Read the chapter in context. And logically, how could you confess all of your sins? Okay, if here's what we're taught. 1 John 1:9 is a way to get yourself right with God. If you're a Christian and you've sinned, then you just confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, first of all, let's take that verse apart. Number one, when you're born again, he has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. So is his work not perfect? Can you uncleanse yourself because you had a bad thought? No. The new man, the new creation is perfect, cleansed from all unrighteousness. And yes, he was faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. When you confess, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. God, I receive the free gift of salvation that you are offering to me right now. I believe, God, and you are born again. He was faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. You see, if we confess our sins, we confess, I've sinned, and I need you to be my Savior, Lord Jesus. Because here's the problem, and you know what? Sadly, this is one of the most manipulative verses in the whole Bible that pastors will take, and I believe they mean well. But they use this verse to manipulate Christians, and it's just not about Christians. Because how could you confess all of your sins? Think about this logically, okay? How many times do you sin a day? Okay? Well, you can't count them all up. If you include bad thoughts as sins, well, you're toast, because you'll never remember every sin. You'll never remember to confess every single sin. So what happens then? Oops, I forgot. Well, you know, that'll be all right. No. If you've got to confess your sins to be right with God, then you can't forget any one of them. You see, the burden of thinking like that is just too strong. It's too much, and it's too wrong. It is wrong. Hear me. Mark Shiver said that 1 John 1:9 is not for believers. You can't live under that type of a burden. Well, it's not preached like that, Mark. It's not preached like it's a burden. It's more like, you know, if you're backslidden and, you know, covering a whole, you know, period of time kind of thing. No, you can't preach this to believers and have it any way you want it. John was talking to unbelievers, a group called the Gnostics specifically. Okay? They didn't believe in sin. But John said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And so when you become born again, that's exactly what happened. So stop using this verse incorrectly, and that'll probably set you free mostly. Okay? God has cleansed you from all unrighteousness when you gave your life to him. Look at all the wonderful, wonderful verses. Read the writings of Paul. They're so powerful. He talks in Ephesians, you know, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that amazing? When we're born again, our spirits are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed. Let me ask you a question. If you're driving down the road and you see, guys, if you see a pretty girl and you think a bad lustful thought, do you become unsealed? Well, the Holy Spirit has left me. Let's see, what do I do? Oh, 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, Lord, no, you can't live under that. You'll fail. You'll fail miserably. And under that line of thought, you won't go to heaven. But if you accept the gospel, and I'm preaching the whole gospel here, that you, when you were born again, you became a new creation. And that new creation is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that new creation is in union with God by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself in John 17 said, Father, I thank you that they will be in us and we will be in them. See, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. There's something more going on here than what you can see. It's not about your hands and your arms and your mind. You are a new creation. You can't see that, just like you can't see your mind. But when you're born again, there's a third part of you, your spirit. And your spirit does not sin, has not sinned, will not sin. And that spirit is in union with God and is seated with Christ in heavenly places. We quote that verse as if it was, you know, ethereal somehow or just a metaphor. Well, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, praise God. No, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your spirit went through death and into life. We've been raised from death unto life, Paul says. We've been transformed. It's amazing. And so the problem with, you know, people that supposedly preach the whole gospel, they're not preaching this, which is the whole gospel. And I don't mean to criticize other people. I'm just telling you, you need to hear the whole gospel, and you're hearing it here. And you'll hear it at places like seeinggrace.com. And former pastor, ex-pastor Noel Cookman has a thing on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern, Fireside Chats, where he and James Barron, dear brother, just talk about these truths. And it's so liberating and so awesome and so true. Okay, so first key to a relationship with God is understanding that you are a spirit. You have been born again. You have been raised from death unto life. And so you have a new person inside of you. Okay, now there's much more to be said about that. But let's go on to key number two. What is key number two? Rest. What? Rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says, there's a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Isn't that awesome? Wait a minute, Mark. I can't rest. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to have my devotional. I've got to go to church. I've got to serve. You don't got to do nothing but believe and rest. Because as you rest, you become more reliant on the strength of God. Let me say that again. As you rest, you become more reliant on the strength of God. You see, Jesus lives inside of you by His Holy Spirit. His character and His nature are in you and part of that new creation that you are. And so as you rest and begin to just allow Him to flow through your life, all of these things that, you know, preaching the whole Bible tries to get us to do, like serve and tithe and give and all of that, they come naturally. They come naturally. It's your nature. It's your desire to give and serve. And it's an amazing thing. And as you rest, you will begin to still your soul and sense the presence and the peace of God. And you'll begin to believe and understand and realize the reality that He's not leaving you. You see, if you live under a sin consciousness, it's very easy to believe that you are separated from God when you sin. And that's just not true. You see, the new creation inside of you does not sin. And that new creation, the real you now, is in great relationship with God, great fellowship with God. And you will begin to have great, great peace and joy and life when you just rest in the knowledge that you are righteous. Uh-oh, I just said it. Now I'm in trouble. Yes, I'll say it again. You are righteous. That new creation is righteous. God's word even backs that up. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Yeah, Mark, but you don't know what I do, and I fail every day, and you certainly can't think you're righteous, Mark, because I know you, and I know you sin, brother. Well, Paul said sin is in our members, in our bodies, and we are no longer just our bodies. We have been made new creations, okay? And that new creation is seated with Christ in heavenly places. That new creation is the righteousness of God in Christ. So I can say, wow, I'm righteous. I can look in the mirror and go, wow, dude, you're righteous. I am righteous. Say that with me. I am righteous. Might feel a little weird the first time, but say it again. I am righteous. I am righteous. Man, that'll get you going. How about do this? Get a 3x5 index card and tape it to your bathroom mirror. Three words. I am righteous. Say it every morning. Say it while you're, you know, brushing your teeth. Well, that's hard to do, but say it while you're doing whatever you're doing, standing in front of the mirror. I am righteous. Put it on the dashboard of your car. I am righteous. I am righteous. Record yourself on your smartphone saying, I am righteous, several times, and then just play it back and hear yourself saying, I am righteous. You see, here's a truth that a lot of people in the world have mastered, sales gurus and stuff. They'll tell you to think about things before they happen. Great golfers tell aspiring golfers that they're teaching, close your eyes and visualize your swing. Visualize the ball landing on the green. Brian Tracy, great sales trainer for many years. I would listen to his cassette tapes. Some of you might know what those might not know what those are, but back in the day when I was in sales, and he would say, "Visualize yourself making the sale." Well, it's the same principle. Close your eyes and see yourself as righteous. The new creation inside of me is righteous. I am righteous. So when you hear yourself on your smartphone telling yourself that you're righteous, it builds you up. It encourages you. When you say, I am righteous, it builds you up and encourages you. There are two quick keys to beginning and enjoying a relationship with God. Number one, understand the reality that you are a new creation, and that new creation is righteous. Okay, there's nothing separating you from God. Nothing. Oh man, this is going to be another podcast episode. Nothing separating you from God. You see, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I didn't say that. Paul said that. It's awesome. Nothing. So if nothing can separate you from him, then you can enjoy relationship with him. You can enjoy that. And then you can rest. Rest in the knowledge that you are righteous. Because guess what? Paul said the kingdom of heaven is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And so when you begin to become established in the truth that you are righteous, then joy and peace will flood into your life. I know I've gone a little long here, but I want you to get a firm understanding that when you are born again, you have been made righteous. And that new creation that you have become does not sin. And you don't need to spend all of your time trying to get better and focused on your sin and living a life that is carnally minded, you know, thinking all about your sin. But when you sin, you thank God that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And you say, I am righteous. And what I just did, it didn't please God. But that's not who I am. I am a new creation. I am a new creation. And I am righteous. And you know what? God didn't leave me. God has not left me. God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And you keep right on going in this great awareness of God's love for you. I'm telling you, friends, brothers and sisters, it will change your life. You want to have a relationship with God? Understand that you're a new creation and rest. Rest in the knowledge that you are righteous. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And that new creation can rest in the knowledge that it is righteous. And one more thing. If you're hearing someone talk about the whole Bible, they're preaching the whole Word of God, and they pull out Jeremiah and start talking about, you've got an evil heart, and we need to change our hearts. Just tell them the very foundation of the belief system that we have as Christians is centered upon another verse. God says, I will take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart. Brothers and sisters, you can't just preach Jeremiah talking about an evil heart without bringing the reality of what Jesus did on the cross. And he died for our sins, and we are forgiven. And as we have gone through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus with him, Paul says, we have new hearts. We are new creations. So preach the whole Word of God, that we are new creations in union with him, and we have been made righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ, not in theory, but in reality, because the new man is righteous. And you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am righteous. And you can rest in that reality. And out of that will flow a deeper awareness of God's love for you and a wonderful, wonderful, real relationship with God. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it, and I look forward to getting together with you again. But remember, God loves you very, very much.